Leviticus 25 and 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to say good morning to you. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It's good to be here today, and we thank you for joining us. We hope you'll stay with us the whole half hour, and we'll be talking about revival today in just a little bit. I want to say good morning to Noah today. How are you today?
I'm doing good today.
Good.
It's good to be here.
Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners, those who listen in on right here on AM 1450 WATA, and those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners, and before I get started, I want to say just a little bit about Victory Bible Institute. It's not too early to start thinking about. We have offered at Mount Lebanon, we have a satellite school every Thursday night. This will not start back until January the 12th. Yeah, that's right, January the 12th. And if you're interested in a biblical education, this is available. You can go to vbcministries.org. Or you could call me, I could tell you about it, but there's a lot of preachers, we have missionaries, we have pastors' wives, we have Sunday school teachers, we have people that just want to learn more about the Bible at Victory Bible Institute. And I think last semester, in all the different correspondence, internet, satellite schools, and then those that come to Victory over in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, I think we had about 58 students, and so that's a lot of students. That's a lot of paperwork for me to keep up with. I had a lot of papers to grade this past semester, and Noah went. Noah, you liked it. And
I did. It's good. You learn a lot there.
You learn a lot of stuff that you never even think about. That's available. We'd love to invite you to learn more about it. I have several catalogs. I think I took them to the church last Sunday, but we could get you a catalog. You could go to vbcministries.org. You can go to Roan Mountain, Tennessee and attend school over there, or locally right here every Thursday night at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have satellite school. How many students did y'all have last semester?
We had around 10, 15, I'm guessing.
Yes.
So right in that area.
That's a pretty good crowd for satellite school. So be thinking about that. If you know a young preacher that would be interested, let them know. Get them to give me a call. And if they're interested, we'll get them set up for school. And it's a great program. You can jump in anywhere along the way as far as different semesters. You don't have to wait till the three-year program is over. This coming semester, I know there's going to be New Testament survey, the Book of Revelation will be taught, and missions evangelism is going to be taught. So I'm looking forward to my part in it. I teach the missions evangelism, and that'll be starting January 12th. I'll be saying more about that, but I just wanted to mention that today and get people thinking about the coming spring semester. I just like saying that, even though winter hasn't even started yet. That'll be the spring semester, something to look forward to. But we're going to talk about revival today. We've been talking about that for several weeks now. And the Bible says in Psalms 85, in verse number 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And that is actually in the form of a prayer in Psalms chapter number 85. And they're praying there. It's God's people. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And that is what revival is. Revival is a spiritual awakening that happens when God's people get thoroughly right with Him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, that's probably the most famous passage of Scripture when it comes to talking about revival, where the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." And so that's what revival is. Revival is when God's people get thoroughly right with the Lord and God intervenes on their spiritual behalf And of course, there are many other blessings and benefits to revival, but it's God's people getting thoroughly right with the Lord. And the first major revival in America is called the Great Awakening. You probably even learned about it in public school. I know I did. I remember reading about Jonathan Edwards and his famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you know, if you study about the Great Awakening, we only studied it from the literary aspect of the time. But it was such an impact that it is included in American history. Even today, in high school, students will learn about and they'll read portions or part of the Great Awakening. But if you really study that out, there's a lot more to it than just that one message by that one pastor, Jonathan Edwards. If you study out the Great Awakening, that is where the Bible Belt can be traced back to. A lot of times people will move to the South and they'll say, you know, there's a church on every corner. And you know, there's a reason why there's a church on every corner, and it's not because they've all split down through the years. I do recognize that there has been some of that, but more often than not, especially right here in North Carolina, you'll find that most churches, or a lot of churches, not most, but there's a lot of churches well over 100 years old and many over 200 years old. And the reason why there are so many churches in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, is because of the Great Awakening. There was such a revival and establishment of what they called at that time non-establishment churches, meaning mainly Baptist churches and others who were not sponsored by the state church, Episcopalian and Congregationalist and denominations like that. There was a great revival, and that's why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt. George Whitefield came through North Carolina and stopped to preach one time. He didn't have very much success. People were not very spiritually in tune, and he prayed after that. He said that they were more interested in North Carolina in dancing than they were in praying. And he prayed a prayer, and he said unto the Lord that God would raise up a John the Baptist that would go into the wilderness crying. And God did raise up. He raised up a man named Shubal Stearns. And Shubal Stearns came down into North Carolina. He was a convert of George Whitefield, him and another gentleman. They came into North Carolina. They started a church down around central North Carolina, and that is where the Bible Belt can be traced back to. So spiritually, the benefit of the Great Revival is still going on today. Physically, America is the result of the Great Awakening. What I mean by that is that without the Great Awakening, during the Great Awakening, there was a unifying factor there that united the hearts and the minds and the people of America, that they desired to have liberty and freedom. They were getting nothing but oppression and tyranny and taxes from England, and they desired a new and a living way. And without the Great Awakening, which unified the hearts and the minds of the people in the American colonies and united all of the American colonies to come out against Britain and to fight even for their liberty, without that Great Awakening, there would be no Declaration of Independence, or there would have been no Declaration of Independence were they referenced to and acknowledged God who had created them equally. There would have been no American Revolution. If you study, and I've mentioned these things many, many times, there would have been no American Revolution. There would be no Constitution as we know it today. There would have been no religious freedom as we know it today in the First Amendment in the Constitution, and there would be no personal freedom as we have it today, as guaranteed in the Second Amendment, where the people have the right to bear arms and to arm themselves and to defend themselves. And so all of these things that when we think about America, this is what America is. It's a result of the Great Awakening, the Great Revival, that led up to the American Revolution. Now, the second Great Awakening, or the second major revival, is called the Second Great Awakening, and it happened approximately 100 years after the First Great Awakening. And really, at that time, when it happened, they didn't call it the Second Great Awakening. They just seen it as a revival of the First Great Awakening, a resurgence. You know, the revival fires had died down, and there was opposition. There was a coldness and a coolness begin to come over the churches, and a intellectualism at that time, and a mockery even of the things of God from the intellectual community. But there was a second great awakening that God used to stir in our country mightily. And they, as I said, just seen it as a resurgence of the first great awakening, the revival coming to life again. And I'm sure that most of our listeners have heard of great men that God used during that time. Charles Finney, D.L. Moody. Most everybody is familiar with Moody Bible Institute and D.L. Moody and his ministry, and that spanned two nations, not only America, but Britain as well, and other places that he visited. And so you have the ministry of D.L. Moody and the great meetings that they would have, and the songs of Ira Sankey, and many of the great songs that we sing in our churches still today were birthed out of that revival movement, that second great awakening. You have songwriters like Fanny Crosby, and there's many others there. Most churches around here have the church hymnal, Redback Songbook, and those revival songs, Revive Us Again, and many others. If I started mentioning, I'd get the dates wrong, but there's a great many songwriters. P.P. Bliss, Hold the Fort for I Am Coming. He was a soldier in the Civil War, and God saved him and called him to preach, and he became a preacher and a songwriter, and we sing a lot of his songs, and there's many others, Fanny Crosby and others I could mention today. But there's D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, preachers like Peter Cartwright and the Methodist preacher Sam Jones, and all of these, if you can find the find their biographies, find their life stories, they're very encouraging. They'll do something for you, do something in your heart. And that great awakening spawned the great missionary movement that also took place during that time. Charles Hudson Taylor and other missionaries, that's the China Inland Mission, and there's a great outreach into all the world. It spawned many Christian organizations that are still around today. You know, here we are almost Christmas time. You know, you'll go to the mall or you'll go somewhere, and there'll be somebody out there ringing a bell, and they've got the little bucket. You know, that the Salvation Army is what I'm talking about. A lot of people may not realize what the Salvation Army is all about or was all about. Now, I don't know today. I'm not very familiar with the organization, but William and Catherine Booth started the Salvation Army to go out and preach salvation on the streets of their country over in England, and that's what they were all about, going out and rescuing lives that had been ruined by sin. And they go out and they'd preach Jesus to them, and people would get saved, and they'd bring them in, and they'd clothe them and help them and give them a place to stay and help them get back on their feet. That's the spiritual roots of the Salvation Army. At the very beginning, it wasn't anything about ringing a bell and putting money into a pot and anything like that. It was about telling people about the saving grace of God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, because only Jesus could rescue the ruined life. And so the Salvation Army has its roots in that great revival of the Second Great Awakening. The YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, is how that started out. Same thing, to preach salvation to young people and be a blessing in their lives. It came out of that great revival time. Do you know, in America today, and most places in the what we might say the industrialized world or the civilized world, most places that you go into, If you go to a motel, you will find in the drawer a Bible, and it's put there by the Gideons. Gideon's Local, Gideon's International. Do you know they were spawned? They were, their beginning is in that great revival. Businessmen had a burden to get the Word of God out into all the world, that everybody needs a Bible. And so we see today the physical and the spiritual blessings that have come out of revivals in America. That's our heritage. That's why some of the things are the way they are, is because of this revival. But on the other hand, today in the professing church in America, we are not experiencing revival. We are not experiencing revival nationally. We are not experiencing revival in churches. Now, there have been some great revivals that have gone on. And even in this past several weeks down in Alabama, we have a missionary friend down there. And their church and other churches have got together, and I can't remember the town in Alabama, but in just a few weeks, they had 1 week, they had 2 weeks, they went on 3 weeks, 4 weeks. They've had over 100 people that have gotten saved in that revival. So that's great. That's wonderful that the Lord is still moving and saving and changing. But overall, the church in America is not experiencing revival. And it pains me to say that, but I believe we have to say that if we're going to have revival. We have to come to the truth and acknowledge the fact that we're not having revival in the churches in America. Now, Islam is having revival. I taught last semester at the school on a Kingdom of the Cults, and we studied about Islam. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the whole wide world. They have over 1.5 billion people. And since 9/11, I didn't realize this until I studied it out, but since 9/11, 2001, when the terrorist attack on America, since that time, there has been a great resurgence and interest in Islam. They're growing by leaps and bounds. They have completely, almost taken over the country of England. They've come by the scores and by the multitudes. Islam is having revival. And I know how the liberal mindset is. There's a lot of people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Muslims are peace-loving people. Well, you need to have your mind checked out to make sure that it's sound, because I'll tell you, although there are people in America and other places that would be literally peace-loving Muslims, there are a great many in the world that are not peace-loving, and they hate America and would love nothing more than to see the fall of America. And if you don't believe that, you just need to look what's going on in the world. America is not a loved nation in the different countries in the world, but Islam is having revival. It's having growth and adding to its numbers. The occult is having a great revival in these last days. That shouldn't surprise us. The Bible says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, and in the latter days there's going to be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2. This know also, or the Bible says there, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So the occult is having revival. Harry Potter and all things vampire. I know a few weeks ago I heard people talking about Breaking Dawn. I didn't know what Breaking Dawn was, but it's a vampire movie, and it's a third in a series, I guess. And even Christian people that ought to know better, they're consumed with these things. It's no wonder we're not having revival in the church. People's enjoying the world too much to have revival in the things of God. But I'm talking about the professing church is not having revival. When I say the professing church, I'm talking about the people that would claim to be "if my people, which are called by my name." Those people, that church is not having revival. Churches are declining on the whole. Many are closing their doors, never to open again. Young people are leaving in droves and never coming back to the faith of their parents. These are statistically the way that the church in America is going. Yes, there are some large churches and they are claiming to grow and have thousands of members, yet these large churches are not being built by conversions like the old time churches were, having people saved and coming and being baptized because they were a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not being built by conversions. They're being built by advertising and organizational skills and marketing strategies and user-friendly worship experiences that's rooted in the music of the world and has, instead of a message that is, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Word of God says, most Christian people in America, they don't even know if we've got the Bible or not. They're confused about what version and, you know, this newest one that'll come along and what about this and that, and you just got little short inspirational talks and teachings that are given in many churches. There's no accountability, no personal responsibility, come as you are, leave as you came type of philosophy. This is not revival. This is not rooted in the Word of God. It's not explainable by the Word of God except a form of apostasy that will be rampant in the last days. Most professing Christians in the church at large in America live more like an atheist than they do a believer. And what I mean by that, they live like the Word of God doesn't matter, live very carnal, worldly, self-centered, self-pleasing, self-satisfied lives, just like the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3, we're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Those of you that know the Bible, you know there's 7 churches mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter number 3. And what that is a preview of what the history of the church would be. And the second to the last church was the Philadelphian church. And they were the one that had the church, that they were the one that had the open door. And God said, no man can shut it. And they went. And that is the church just a generation ago in America. But now we've quickly come into the next period, the Laodicean church age. We're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. That's the church that has the Lord Jesus on the outside knocking to get into his own church. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And so we see there we're living in the Laodicean church age. Many people believe that our problems are political, that if we just had the right party in control in Washington, that they could fix things. Now, if you're still buying into that mindset, you need to wake up. You know, it really doesn't matter who is in charge in Washington. Things pretty much stay the same. And that's because, really, if you put them all in a box and shook them up, mixed them up, and dumped them out in the trash can, there wouldn't be very much difference at all between any of them. That is not the answer to the problems in this country, is a political change. Well, the Democrats didn't get it done. Let's put the Republicans in. Hogwash. That's never changing. That's not going to change anything. It just gets worse and worse. Every time we do have change, we're just continually going downhill. Others believe that, well, it's just financial problems. If we could fix our financial mess. Others, well, it's educational. If we just had more education, if we had more socialism, if we had, free health care and things like this, that things would get better in America. But here today, I'm going to tell you the real reason why America is in such a mess, why we're more than in a mess. We are in critical condition. We're on life support in the ICU unit of nations. And here's the real reason today why that last week the Senate voted to be able, the new Defense Authorization Act that they voted on. They voted that it would be all right to arrest and detain American citizens, anybody that's considered a threat, anybody that's considered a threat against the American government or opposition to the government, to arrest and detain American citizens indefinitely without trial and hardly a peep from the general public. How could that happen in America? That completely does away with the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. How could this happen in America and the general public just go right on like nothing is happening? I'm going to tell you what the problem in America is. Here's something that Patrick Henry said many years ago. He said, "Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels or idolaters should be a nation of free men." Listen what he said. "It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." Our problems in America have a spiritual source, and that is why there's no answer but a spiritual answer. He said, "It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." William Penn said this, "If we will not be governed by God, then we will be ruled by tyrants." William Penn is the one that, if you'll study it out, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he was behind that, which every time we come on, we quote that verse, Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." William Penn said, "If we will not be governed by God, then we will be ruled by tyrants." Here's what the Bible says. Psalms 9 and verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Could it be that we've forgotten God and we're ripe and ready for the judgment of God if something doesn't give? Well, let me go on. My time is quickly coming to an end. Now, if the problem is spiritual, then the answer has to be spiritual as well. And we'll never turn back to God as a people until we see our true condition, just how far gone and helpless the situation really is. Fact is, we're not doing pretty good in America. We're not doing pretty good in the church, the believing, professing church. We're doing awful. We're miserable and cold and blind and naked and wretched, just like the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3. But it's still in the book that Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." It's still in the book. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." It is the Christians' fault that we're in such a mess in America today, and only the Christians have the key to get us out of this mess. If my people. Boy, that's a sobering thought to think about today, that it's the fault of the Christians. They're supposed to be the light. They're supposed to be the salt in the world. You read the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus telling the disciples that very thing. But we failed to be light. We failed to be salt. So it's dark. We're saltless. And it's our fault that the nation is in such a mess. And we're the only ones that have the key to do anything to turn it around. If the Bible says there, you ought to go to your Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and circle that little word, if my people. Well, if God's people never wake up, if they never turn to the Lord in humility and prayer, then there's no hope whatsoever. Well, we appreciate you listening in. Thank you for doing that and taking time out of your busy day. We'd love to hear from you. Noah is going to give the contact information here in just a moment. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. 863-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.